Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for that great introduction. Last time I had such a good introduction was when I had to introduce myself. But it's honestly such a privilege to be here and to be amongst friends. Thank you, Andy, and just to catch up with everybody again, Graham and Chris and Jill. I'm so sorry Cora cannot be here. We're building a house and she's the building inspector. So she has to stay home to watch that. You ready for the Word of God? Amen. I'm going to talk about change. So I've entitled this message, The Challenge of Change. Because to change is quite a challenge. And I want to tell you a story about something that happened in South Africa. It was a very busy weekend at the casualty emergency department of a hospital. And there were several serious situations there. But a boy was admitted because he swallowed the equivalent of a $2 coin. It's a little bit slimmer. Fortunately, the coin turned so that he was able to still breathe, but it was stuck in his upper throat. And there was a doctor who came to look at him immediately, but he was called away to another serious emergency. And he told the nurse to just watch this boy and stay with him until he could get back. So after a few minutes, the doctor ran past the boy's room. Again, stuck his head in the door and asked the nurse what happened to the boy who swallowed the $2 coin. And her answer was, no change yet. And I thought, you know what, if you ask the question about the spiritual welfare of some Christians, you get the same answer. No change yet. And it's so important. And so I'm going to make that the theme. And incidentally, I told this story in another church where I was ministering, and somebody came to me afterwards and said, you know what, our pastor would have done much better than that doctor to get that $2 coin out, because when he receives the offering, he can get money out of anybody. But it's important for us to realize the necessity of change. And why do we need to change? Do we change just to enjoy popularity, or do we change under peer pressure, or just to be fashionable or trendy or with it? We don't change to be cool. Because the truth is this, cool can change. I remember years ago when we were young people, we didn't use the word cool. And I don't know if you use this word in Australia, but we used to say, this is groovy. Did you have something like that? And then later it became, this is hip. This is far out. This is fab. This is funky. And then it became, this is fat. Or it is sick. It's wicked. And so the fact is this, cool is a perishable product. And what is cool today can be uncool tomorrow. Because a fad will fade and a trend will end. And we don't change just to be with it. We change because God's word requires it of us. Doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. I remember years ago in a church where I started preaching a kind of a radical message, that one of the elders came to me afterwards and he said to me, what is this newfangled thing that you are preaching? He says, I've been in the Lord's way for 40 years. I said, what did you say? He said, I've been in the Lord's way for 40 years. I said to him, you said it. So we need to change if we want to stay, not with it, but with God. And that's what the Bible is speaking about. I'm not talking about a superficial change. I'm talking about supernatural change, where God gets involved. Because if you think about it, change was the primary proclamation that Jesus made. When he started preaching, he used the word repent, which means to change. And so it's still necessary for us, even after we are born again, to keep on changing. And I want to use Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 as our foundational text, because it uses two important words concerning change. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, and Paul says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. That's change. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So two similar sounding English words. You could either be conformed or you could be transformed. Now, it's very interesting, and I don't want to bother you with the Greek words, but the word conformed has a word in it where we get our word scheme from, scheme or system or pattern. So Paul warns us that we must not be changed into the pattern or the scheme or the system of this world. But we should rather be transformed. And there is a beautiful Greek word that he uses, and it's the word metamorphuo, which is the word that gives us metamorphosis. It means a total change into a completely different form or character. And that's what God requires of us. So I think we all realize the need to be changed. But I want to address how to be changed. And you know, you can about get everything on YouTube today. And it can tell you, for instance, how to change a tire. And it can give you 21 easy steps how to change a tire. Step one, stop the car. Step two, switch the engine off. Step three, engage the handbrake. Step four, open the door. Step five, get out the car. Step six, check which tire is flat. Etc., etc. So you can go through all those steps, and it gives you a whole formula. God's word never gives us formulas. It gives us principles. Because God works differently in every person's life. And if we apply these principles, God will give you a strategy specifically for your life. And that's what I want to give you today. And here's the first principle. Recognize the source of change. Where does change come from? And I think if you want to call it the first step then, the first step towards change is one of great courage. You actually have to acknowledge that you do not have the ability to change. Your strength lies in recognizing your weakness. Because if you recognize that change doesn't come from you. You are halfway there. Let's go to Romans 12 and verse 2 again. Listen what it says here. It says, and I'm going to emphasize two important words. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Both Greek words here are in a passive voice form of the verb. Now, you know, if you can remember from school days, in the active voice, it's the subject who performs the action, but in passive voice, it's the subject who becomes the recipient of the action. So he doesn't say here conform or transform. He says be conformed and be transformed. So you can actually become the subject of the influence of this world and you can be conformed, or you can allow God to transform you. I'm sorry that the younger people had to leave here because they will understand this. God is the original transformer. He's the one who can transform you. And you know, there's a kind of a modern catchphrase that we hear often, and it says, reinvent yourself. And I do realize there is a need to be reinvented. And I found this this image on the web somewhere, and it says, time to reinvent yourself. And then, obviously, you can see that the initial letters are circled, and it spells out the word try. And that's exactly what the world thinks it should be. You are changed by trying. In fact, the Bible says the opposite. It says you are changed by stopping to try, ceasing to do it in your own strength. Now, let me again say, there could be a real need for reinvention. But I want to ask you this question. Who invented you? God did. So if God invented you, he's the only one who can reinvent you. And today, if you get out in the world, you'll find there's so many self-improvement programs. There are so many self-help books nowadays. I heard about a guy who walked into this bookstore and he asked the sales assistant, where's the self-help section? And she responded, if I told you, that would defeat the purpose, wouldn't it? You will not find godly change in the self-help section. God is the one who changes you. And obviously, you need willpower for change. But I want to say, your own willpower and your resolve have only limited value in your Christian walk if you do not realize that the power to change comes from God. And sometimes the more you try, the more you fail. Until you get to the point where you realize it's only God that can do this. Now, Scripture is very clear about this. The New Testament teaches us that religious rules and regulations do not have much power against the lust of the flesh. Willpower alone will never succeed in dealing with, for instance, the sin problem in your life. You need to yield to God. It doesn't come through works. I find it quite interesting that Paul here in verse 1 emphasizes the mercies of God. Listen what he says here. I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, be transformed. And the mercies of God are not just the basis of Paul's appeal for transformation, it's in fact the means of transformation too. Resting in God to bring about the change. You know, so often, and especially when we get to New Year, you find people saying, I'm going to become a better person. I'm going to change. The fact is this, you cannot get better before you get good first. And only God can make you good, because the Bible is very clear. There's no one that is good. Jesus said that. Only God can make you good, and only God can make you better. And it's great if you have the intention to turn over a new leaf, but you need more than a new leaf. Your whole book is messed up. You need a new book. And it's only God that can bring that about in your life. The message of the New Testament is very clear. It says, you are dead in your sins and trespasses. A dead man, I've never seen a dead man resurrect or resuscitate himself. That's why God had to come into your life and bring about the change. And when God changed you, I love what the Bible speaks about. It was a new birth. God, in fact, gave you a new DNA. God gave you His nature. And unless you are changed, your spiritual DNA is changed, then there will be no change on the outside. Because you reap what you sow. And you cannot sow unless the seed is in your heart first. I hear some people say, I don't know why people are so unfriendly. It's because you're so sour. And a lemon can never produce something sweet unless it's changed genetically. And it's the same thing with us. Now, I love this scripture in 2 Corinthians 3:18 because it tells us that it's God who changes us. Listen to this. It says, we all with unveiled face beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Let me stop there for a moment. And this is not a trick question. Let me just ask you this. When you look into a mirror, what do you see? Yourself. What does this verse say? When we look as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. Wow. So that is what God changed you into. But He's not done with you because the scripture goes on and it says, we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, and then here's the part that I want to emphasize, just as from the Lord. So He changed your DNA, and He will continually change you from one degree of glory to the next. And all He requires of you is the choice to change. You need to choose to change. I love this partnership that God has with us because He does the impossible. And all He needs is, He just needs my signature on the contract. I just need to say, I'm in partnership. And here's the beautiful thing about this partnership, and it's something that I have, I've said so often because it applies to every facet of our lives. Listen to this partnership. You cannot do it without God. But God will not do it without you. Can I say that again? You cannot do it without God. But God will not do it without you. He needs your consent. He needs your cooperation. And that is vital. So change comes from God. Here's the second important principle. Pinpoint the starting point of change. And I'll give you the answer immediately. Change starts with you. Again, transformation is a kind of a buzzword today, and we know we need transformation in our society. But every change that we are praying about starts with us. So many things that people want to change. They want a change of scenery, a change of jobs, change of churches. Because they're not happy with a church. I love what Spurgeon said. He says, if you're looking for a perfect church, don't join it. Because from that day, it will be imperfect. They want to change marriage partners. They want to change everything rather than themselves. Leo Tolstoy was a famous Russian author and philosopher. And apparently in his 50s, I don't know if he ever became a Christian, but he was deeply influenced by the words of Jesus. And he made this broad statement. He said, everybody thinks of changing humanity, but nobody thinks of changing himself. Now, I'm not sure whether I should even even quote this song in church, but I want you to just look at this. Some of you might be familiar with the song. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. That's the key to change. Now, I'll be honest, I may not agree with Michael Jackson about how change will take place, but I do agree with him about where change should start. It's the man in the mirror. Sometimes it's good to just speak to yourself. I don't mind speaking to myself, especially when I need expert advice. But sometimes you just need to look in the mirror and say to that person, you need to change. And change is going to start with you. You know, you cannot always change other people and circumstances. I'm sure you are familiar with the prayer commonly known as the Serenity Prayer by Reinhold Niebuhr, American theologian. And it goes like this: God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. There are things that you can change. But let me give you another version of that prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the people I cannot change, and the courage to change the one I can, and the wisdom to know that one is me. Because that's where change starts. And we need to trust God. So change starts with you, but more than that, change starts in you. It's not an external thing. It comes from the inside. Now, I want to go back to Romans 12 and verse 2 and read it from the Message paraphrase and listen what it says. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it, unlike the culture around you always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Wow. So change should start in the heart. That's how simple it is. But it's just the beginning of change. And incidentally, going back to that verb, be transformed in the Greek, again, it's in the present passive imperative, which should actually be translated, keep on being transformed. Because it comes from the inside, and it should continue. God gave you a new heart, but God wants you to have a new way of thinking too. Your mind should be renewed. And let me remind you of that partnership again. You cannot do it without God, but God will not do it without you. I like what how Paul describes it in Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. It starts off this verse and Paul says, my beloved. Let me stop there for a moment and just say to you, whenever you find that word in the New Testament, beloved, you must know he's speaking to the family of God. He's speaking to people who have already been born again. He's not addressing the unbelievers out there. So here's what he says. My beloved, people who have already been saved, work out your own salvation. He doesn't say work your own salvation. They're already saved, and God saved them. They couldn't do it themselves. But he says work out, complete it. Look at me. When God changes you on the inside, that change needs to be worked out. That change needs to be completed. And that's what he speaks about here. In verse 13, he says, for it is God who works where? In you. Both to will and to do. So the change in you will bring about a change in your will. It brings about a change in your actions. So we need to see that change starts from the inside. Principle number three, and I think this is an important one. Identify the instrument of change. If God changes us and we cannot change ourselves, what does God use? What tool does he use? Well, his word. I like this quote by John Woolworth. He was an American evangelical theologian. And he said, wherever the Bible has been consistently applied, it has dramatically changed the civilization and culture of those who have accepted its teaching. No other book has ever so dramatically changed individual lives and society in general. Thank you, Chris, for just emphasizing and giving that word about how important God's word is. And it's so simple. Sometimes we're looking for spectacular means of change. And I remember one preacher saying this, and he said, we often miss the supernatural because we look for the spectacular. God's word is a supernatural book, and it can bring about supernatural change in your life. I like this version of 2 Corinthians 3:18 that we read earlier. It's from the Amplified. It says this, all of us as with unveiled face, because we continued to behold in the word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured into his very own image in ever-increasing splendor and from one degree of glory to another. So the mirror that you look into is God's word. It will tell you who you are in Christ, but it also tells you there's room for improvement. Amen. And that word will change you as you look into that mirror. Let me go back to Romans 12 and verse 1. Paul says in this version, it's the New Living Translation, dear brothers and sisters, remember what I said, beloved, or brothers, sisters? Here's what he says. And just incidentally, and this will help the ladies, in Greek, where the word brethren or brothers is used in the plural, it has the same meaning as in English, siblings. So he's not just addressing the men. Because some women need to change as well. He says in verse 2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. Now listen to this this translation or this paraphrase. By changing the way you think. Wow. That's where change then happens. Once God has changed your heart, look at me. Here's where the change needs to happen. Constantly. Changing the way you think. You see, we in the world, we've been brainwashed. And actually, I don't even like the term brainwashed in this context because we have not been washed. We've been brain polluted. And we need to have our minds renewed. And how do I change my thoughts? Simply by exchanging my thoughts for his thoughts. And I need to get his thoughts. And where do I get his thoughts? In his word, in the Bible. And listen to this. If you are a believer, this is how simple it is. You're a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body. So God, through the new birth, changes your spirit. He gives you a new heart. That's what Jesus does. So let me put it this way. Your spirit has been changed, past tense. Your body will be changed, future tense, because you're going to get a glorified body. I'm looking forward to a new body. But here's the important part for us as believers right now. Your spirit has been changed. Your body will be changed. Your soul, which is the seat of your thoughts, your mind, your intellect, your will, your emotions, your thoughts, your soul is being changed, present continuous tense. Here's where the battle goes on all the time. And this is why your mind needs to be renewed. You know why you have a problem with some fleshly things? Because you're a three-part being. If your mind is not renewed, it gangs up with your flesh. And that's two against one, against your spirit. Once your recreated spirit and your renewed mind come together, it's two against one. So here's another scripture that speaks about mind renewal. Now, instead of using the expression, your mind needs to be renewed, I'm going to show you, James uses the phrase, your soul, look at me, your soul needs to be saved. Listen to what he says, James 1, verse 19. And I want to read verse 19 on purpose. It says, so then, my beloved brethren, who's he speaking to? Born again believers. And then he says in verse 21, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Ooh. So you can be born again without your soul being saved. Now, please understand me. Once you're born again, you're going to heaven. But here's what he's talking about. Your soul needs to be saved. Your mind needs to be renewed. And how does it come? I love how the way James puts it here. He says, receive with meekness. And listen to this. It's a past tense word. The implanted word. Let me put it in plain, simple language. Receive the word which has already been planted inside of you. Now, I want you to look at me again. He's not talking about this part of the process. You hear God's word. It comes in through your ear. It goes through your mind as the gateway to your spirit. It lands up in your heart, and God changes you. Now, look at me. It's implanted. He's talking about this part of the process. Whatever's been planted in your heart must now come out again. Work out your salvation. Renew your mind. And this is where a lot of Christians have a problem, because the moment the word comes here, there's a blockage. Because their mind has become so rigid. Their thoughts cannot change. I call them the concrete Christians, because their minds are like concrete, thoroughly mixed up and totally set. One of the most important qualities that you should have is a pliable mind. Allowing God to change your thought patterns. That's what change is about, for your mind to be renewed, for your soul to be saved, and your mind should be like clay in the hands of the potter. Ephesians 4 speaks about this change in our thoughts and attitudes. The Message paraphrases this in verse 22. Everything, and I do mean everything, connected with that old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it and then take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside. Another translation speaks about your thoughts and attitudes, and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces His character in you. That's why I'm so passionate about the Word of God, because I've seen even in situations, in Bible school situations, how God's word becomes a catalyst for change. That's the instrument that God uses. Principle number four. And I only have 76 more after this one. Follow the desire to change. Remember, we read that God is working in you and He actually creates the desire, the will in you. And God helps us to acquire the desire, but now He's waiting for our choice and our cooperation. You know what amazes me about Romans 12, that Paul never said to the believers, I command you to be changed. Because it's very interesting. Look at Romans 12, 1 again, and I'm reading from the Amplified. He says, I appeal to you. I beg of you, the Amplified says. Some other translation says, I plead with you, I beseech you, I urge you, I encourage you, I exhort you, be transformed. But he doesn't say, I command you, because change is by choice, not by an external force. We must be willing to change. I must follow that desire. You must want to change. And let me just say this, that even pastors are all for change. They want change, except in the offering basket. And pastors need to change. We all need to continue changing. And isn't it amazing how we quite often resist change? Now, I have news for you. Whether you are going to accept this or not, this time next year, when you look back, you will have changed. You could either change passively or actively. And if I can encourage you, don't wait for crisis to change you. Because sometimes people only change when they have a crisis. You see, some people change when they see the light. Others only change when they feel the heat. Now, when Paul says, let me go to Romans 12, verse 2 again. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. He actually gives us the reality of you're going to be changed. Either in the pattern of the world or by the power of God. So this time next year, you'll be 1 year older. Now, I like the English expression where it speaks about growing older. Some people are just getting older. We should actually grow older. Because there needs to be growth in us. You see, some people do not change positively. They are chronologically advanced. They are biologically ancient, but they are spiritually immature. Anyone can get old. You just have to live long enough. But to change is another story. John Maxwell, American author, said this, change is inevitable. Growth is optional. And I want to put it this way. Change is involuntary. Improvement is intentional. You have to make that choice and work with God and follow this desire to change. And you can change positively. I want you to turn to somebody next to you, in front of you, whatever, and I want you to say this out loud. Look them in the eyes and say this. God loves you so much. Come on, say that to somebody. That He doesn't want to leave you the way you are. Don't Don't be so fixed in your ways that you cannot change. Don't become inflexible and hard-headed. Don't be so bound to old patterns and your own ideas that you cannot flow with the freshness of the Holy Spirit. Don't be so set in your thought patterns that you cannot learn new things. You know, one of the things that I really appreciate is that the followers of Jesus are called disciples. I don't care whether you become a pastor or an evangelist or an apostle or whatever, you always remain a disciple. And one of the meanings of the word disciple is learner. We are lifelong learners. Never stop being a disciple. Keep on changing. We get to the last principle. Maintain hope for change. So easy to lose hope. And just looking at Romans 12 and verse 2 again, the first two words, these two words rather, in there says, be transformed. The Holy Spirit would never have inspired Paul to say, be transformed, if that transformation was not possible. Now, I want to show you a picture, but I need to explain it because it has South African currency in this picture there. I took it when I went to the shopping mall and I had to pay for the parking. And it says 8 rand was the parking fee. And as I looked at this, it's like God spoke to me. And it said there, change is possible. Wow. God ever spoken to you through a machine? God can use anything. He used a donkey. And I'm so thankful for that. And you know, sometimes we can get discouraged because we don't see change. I have a book at home by Charles Swindoll, and the title is very interesting. It's called 3 Steps Forward, 2 Steps Back. Because sometimes that's what change is. Look at this. 3 steps forward, 1, 2, 3. And then I suffer a setback. 1, 2, back. And I get so discouraged. Instead of seeing, I'm not where I was. God's still working on me. And change, I discovered, is not always an event. It's a process. And to be honest with you, I've even gone past the stage where in a service I'm looking for immediate results. I'm looking for fruit that will remain and change that will continue. That's the kind of thing that I'm looking for. And you know, when you look at the fruit of the Spirit in John 15, Jesus speaks about pruning. And he says, every branch that bears fruit, God prunes. Why? So it may bear more fruit. And if you have more fruit, he says he wants much fruit. So if you're going through a pruning process, here's the good news. God's seen some fruit in your life, but he wants more. And one of the components of the fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. Doesn't happen instantly. Oh, I need to finish. Let me skip to this verse. And somebody quoted it in the beginning of the service, Philippians 1:6. Living Bible says, I'm sure that God who began the good work within you, or it was when we prayed together, I think, he says, he will keep right on helping you grow in grace until his task within you is finally finished. We're still in a process of growing. You know, I know you would have this a similar thing. If they're working on the road, there will be a sign. And I've seen the lollipop persons that we don't have in South Africa. But here's a sign that should actually be around our necks. Under construction, God at work. Because he's not done with me yet. But he will finish the work to his glory. So my challenge to you is this. Are you going to accept the challenge of change and work with God? Let's stand. I want to pray for you. And as I said, I'm not looking for immediate results. And I know there might be people here who've never experienced the radical major change of the new birth. I'm going to include you in the prayer as well. But I really feel that this is a message for the beloved, for the brethren and the sisterin, that God is challenging you. Don't feel that you have arrived. Don't think that you have completed everything that God has for you. There's still more. And God wants to keep on changing you. But you need to cooperate with Him. You cannot do it without God. God will not do it without you. Father, thank you so much for your word and how you challenged us today about the need for change. I pray for each individual believer here that they will follow that desire because you are working in them. And that they will just allow their salvation to be worked out, to be completed. That their minds will be flexible and pliable. And that their thought patterns will change to come in line with your word. And I thank you that by this time next year, we'll be able to look back and say, thank God that I have changed. And thank you, Lord, that we'll continue to change. And I pray for if there's anybody here or watching online, not sure about the eternal destination, that we can pray this prayer together. I want you to say this out loud. Whether you're a believer or not, let us pray it on behalf of those who have not had that experience. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I come to you. I realize my need to be changed, and I cannot change myself. Therefore, I ask you, Jesus, come into my life, forgive me, cleanse me, and make me brand new. I believe with my heart and confess with my mouth that you died in my place so that I can receive new life. I receive eternal life. I thank you that it's by grace, through faith, that I'm now a child of God. And I will follow you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.